You see, for Christians, we are ruthless. We're ruthless in using the severe method of the gospel. That's a severe method. The sword of the Spirit to cut to the quick, cut to the heart, cut to the souls of individuals, convict and kill sin within those where sin is so easily entangled in. You see, that's what the Word of God does. When you speak the Word of God that Jesus Christ came and died for your sins, and he who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges chapter 3.
Blessed because we came. You will be blessed because we came.
Verse 17, and he presented the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was very fat, a very fat man, and it came about when he had finished presenting the tribute, that he sent away the people who had carried the tribute. But he himself turned back from the idols which were at Gilgal and said, I have a secret message for you, O king. And he said, keep silent. And all who attended him left him. And Ehud came to him while he was sitting alone in his cool roof chamber. And Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. And he arose from his seat. And Ehud stretched out his left hand, took the sword from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly, Eglon's belly. And the handle also went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade so that he did not draw the sword out of his belly, and the refuse came out. Pretty gory story. Verse 23. Then Ehud went out into the vestibule and shut the doors of the roof chamber behind him and locked them. And when he had gone out, his servants came and looked, and behold, the doors of the roof chamber were locked. And they said, he is only relieving himself in the cool room. And they waited until they became anxious, but behold, he did not open the doors of the roof chamber. Therefore, they took the key and opened them, and behold, their master had fallen to the floor dead. Now Ehud escaped while they were delaying, and he passed by the idols and escaped in Sirah. And it came about when he had arrived that he blew the trumpet in the hill country of Ephraim, and the sons of Israel went down with him from the hill country, and he was in front of them. And he said to them, pursue them, for the Lord has given your enemies, the Moabites, into your hands. So they went down after him and seized the fords of the Jordan outside Moab and did not allow any to cross. And they struck down that time about 10,000 Moabites, all robust, valiant men, and no one escaped. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land was undisturbed for 80 years. Wow. Twice as long with here, Ehud. Now, Israel, as we mentioned, on this treadmill that they're going through, repeat offenders, sin and defeat. But when they cry out, God doesn't ignore them. They cry out, and God raises up a deliverer, and that's Ehud here. Ehud, we really wouldn't know him unless we had him here in Judges. And God is using this king, this evil king Eglon of Moab, really a nation worse than Israel, but God will often do that. He will use a pagan, a worse nation, to discipline his kids. God doesn't discipline the kids of the devil. No, but his kids, to bring them around, to bring them, show them that he is their God and that he's the deliverer of them, and bring them into that relationship with them. Now, it's not 8 years like before, but it's 18 years. God's more harsh now. He's more harsh with the hardened hearts. When the hearts are hard, the punishment will fit the transgression. Sometimes it doesn't take much for God to deal with you or with me. It might be that we have a sensitive conscience and we do something or say something, or we have an attitude, and it's like, you know, God just, you know, works on us, and we feel so bad about it, you know, and so we repent and we come and apologize or make amends with that thing. And then others, they're more hard, and sometimes they have to go through trials. Sometimes people treat them exactly the way they've treated others. You've been harsh, and you haven't responded when I've convicted you. Okay, I'm going to bring harshness on you, that you may know how that feels, to bring you to a place of repentance. So you see, God measures out those things, and he's done that with them now. So notice that Ehud is a Benjamite. And remember the land that was given to Benjamin and the Benjamites, it was in that territory where the city of Jericho was, the city of palms. That's Jericho. It was right there. So that was Ehud's city. It was in their land. And now Eglon, he's making a mockery of that. Hey, look at me. I'm right here in your land. You're not doing anything about it. And so as Eglon and is the nations, they captured that area. That's where they were hanging out and residing. You see, in Israel, they were to bring tribute, money, because they were owned by Eglon and the Moabites. And so they would bring the tribute to them. And that's a sad thing when you're bringing tribute to a master, and the master isn't God. So what they're giving to this Eglon really should have been given to God. But now they're servants here. They're in captivity here. And they're not serving the Lord. They're serving this pagan king. What a sad situation that people will find themselves in when they're serving maybe the government and you're not serving the Lord. Bad situation for them. But here, it makes mention that he is left-handed. You see that here. I mention it left-handed. That is in verse 15, that he's left-handed. And so he put that dagger, that sword, on his right thigh, his right hip. It emphasizes that because the greeting at that time, if you notice in our, I thought it was a great visual, you know, our study in the book of Judges, you see all the guys parading and they all have beards because that's what they did in those days. And the way of greeting and the way of respect is with your right hand, you would grab the beard and you'd kiss the beard. That was a way of respect and the way of greeting. And so with Eglon here sitting there and then standing, Ehud would probably give him that greeting, but with his left hand, he would pull that sword out and then ram him through. So very interesting for the details there. Now, when he brought the tribute, that was just something that they would do. So there was no suspicion there. It would just come. Ehud would come with the tribute, and that's fine. But now he says, not just the tribute given, but now I have a word from God to give to you. And so the word is a very severe message. But you see, Eglon, he's usurped God's throne, and he's become God's rival, God's enemy at this point. Now, when you look at Ehud, this is not an assassination. People want to say that. Is that right? Assassination? It's not assassination, but this is divine justice, a death sentence by Judge Ehud. Ehud's a judge. Just as a judge may sentence somebody to a death sentence. That's what God has done here. God has done here in the courts of heaven. And so that's what he's doing. And notice in verse 19, it says he came from Gilgal. Now, Gilgal, remember that place where God rolled away their reproach and they put those stones, those 12 stones representing the tribes? Well, now he came from there, but there were graven images. There were pagan images there. That's the Moabites in their contempt, in contempt for Israel. They're putting up these idols, right? Probably by the 12 stones. I don't know if they took the stones down or not, but maybe they left them just to show their contempt with the idols. And I'm certain as Ehud saw those idols, his anger burned against the oppressors. And so he came. And then the tribute that Eglon was expecting from Ehud and from Israel, then that secret message from God that Ehud said to Eglon, you know, send your servants out. You know, this is for you and God. I've got to. And so Eglon stood up. I mean, this is a big guy. This is an obese guy. But he got up from his seat and he stood to hear the message, which was a big deal. When you think about that, I don't know, the commentators will think about that. And here is a pagan king standing up when he hears that Jehovah, the God of Israel, wants to give him a message. Is that regarding the God of Israel? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe some of the commentators think that. But he does stand. He rose in regard to God's message to him. I think in that, and some of these commentators that say that, I like the fact that what they also say, what about us? We need to be careful how we listen to God. Listening to the word of God and hearing what God says to us and not disregarding it, not being careless in the hearing and obeying what the Holy Spirit says. Here this pagan king stands to hear. It's not going to be a good message to him, but you see, I like what some of these commentators, they spiritualize it and say, how about you? When God speaks to you, do you in one sense stand in your heart and say, yes? Yes, Lord, what? Or like little Samuel, when God came to him three times and said, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. You know, we don't want to disregard what God says to us and maybe speaking to you tonight. And don't disregard that. But here, what God is doing, it's really a surprise message, you might say, to this King Eglon. It's really a dagger. He doesn't expect that, but that's what happens. And what God is doing, he's avenging his name, and he's avenging his people when they cried out. And when you think about it, God hasn't called us to do that. Not to go out and, you know, with swords and, you know, items that destroy. He's not called us to do that. You see, for Christians, we are ruthless. We're ruthless in using the severe method of the gospel. That's a severe method. The sword of the Spirit. To cut to the quick, cut to the heart, cut to the souls of individuals, convict and kill sin within those where sin is so easily entangles them. You see, that's what the Word of God does. When you speak the Word of God, that here God, Jesus Christ, came and died for your sins. And he who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But if you reject that, God is going to judge you, and there is a fiery hell that you're going to experience. You see, that's a sword. That's killing, you know, a person on the inside, and they're either going to reject that or come along and respond to that. When Peter took out his sword when they were arresting Jesus and he cut off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant, Jesus said, "Put away the sword, Peter. Those who live by the sword die by the sword." You see, we have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We're to use that. That's our offensive weapon. When it talks about putting on the armament of God, we'll get that in Ephesians. All of them are defensive armament for resisting, for walking in this life. Only one is offensive, and that's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. God's message, not just of a hard message that you're going to go to hell if you don't repent, but no, it's a message of mercy and of grace and forgiveness for the sinner, that they might find peace. Because deep down in every person's heart, there's a God-shaped void. And if you're wise with God's word, wise with God's sword, you can penetrate that. I've been on airplanes where just amazing, you know, the doors that have opened, and God has just opened hearts. But that's what God, he wants to bring people to salvation and find peace with him. Now, notice there's 80 years of calm, 80 years of rest. Now, many believe that what is taking place, because Moab was on the eastern side of the Jordan, so it seems like there's where the peace was in that area. But on the southwestern part, across the Jordan, more toward the Mediterranean, that's where the Philistines were. And so you find in this last verse, it seems like at the same time of Ehud, Shamgar was doing some conquering on that side. But it says in verse 31, "And after him came Shamgar, the son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad, and he also saved Israel." So it seems as though, and again, you know, if you look at some of the commentators, they think, well, because Moab was on one portion, when you look at a map, should have got a map for you, but I didn't, on the eastern side of the Jordan, and there were the tribes that were over there found peace. But then on that western side, in the southern part, that's where the Philistines were. And so Shamgar was raised up. And notice only 600 of the Philistines. It doesn't seem like there was a great contingency of that. But one of the things that we find when we get into the next couple chapters is the Song of Deborah. The Song of Deborah references Shamgar. And it talks about Shamgar, the highways were unoccupied in his days. So those would be the highways where you would go maybe from Jerusalem to southern parts, unoccupied. Why? Because of marauders. Marauding bands would make travel unsafe. And so God used Shamgar as he used Ehud, probably lived at the same time, to deal with the Philistines. Now, it's not a huge number. 10,000 that Ehud destroyed, and only 600 here. Not a huge number were defeated to deliver Israel, but he did it with an ox goad. That's just, you know, something that was handy. You know, many believe that he was on a plowshare, you know, and he was plowing, and then all of a sudden the Philistines appeared, and God put it in his heart to go up against them. And he didn't have a spear, he didn't have a sword, so he used this, whatever was at hand, this ox goad, and he wiped out 600. That's pretty good. That's like Samson. He did pretty much the same thing with the Philistines. But what I like about this is God uses whatever instrument is available. And you're an instrument. I'm an instrument. It's not ability, but it's availability. We have to ask ourselves, am I available? If I'm available, God will use me. God will use you. But you have to make yourself available. And so whatever God puts on your heart, whatever He has you doing, it's for the kingdom of God. And it's for the body of Christ. We're serving one another in these things. A lot of different kinds of ministries that we do, but we're doing them for the Lord. The Bible says that in word and in deed, do all things for the glory of God. And that's what it's for, the glory of God. Nobody gets a pat on the back for it. I mean, when we serve and when we minister, when we do, it's doing for the Lord. And it's amazing the benefit that it has with the people. You know, we've had people come in, and one of the things that they will say is, how do you get so many people to, are all these people on staff? Well, no, some people are on staff, but, you know, these are volunteers. How do you get so many people to volunteer? Well, the Lord puts it on their heart. We don't, you know, we don't rah, 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 you know, but we say, here's the need. Here's, if you want to serve, love to have you serve. You're going to find that you get more out of it than you give. And it's a blessing. I've had leaders, elders in churches say, we can hardly get anybody to come and help out with different projects and stuff. And I just, you know, I don't know what to think, but I know that if you teach the Word of God, if you teach the Bible, and you realize that Jesus was the servant of all. He said, the greatest in the kingdom of God is the servant of all. When He took that towel and He washed the disciples' feet, He said, you don't know what I do now, but you will eventually. You see, it's taking the lowest place and serving others. You know, it's doing what maybe others don't even want to do, but it's that servant attitude. That's the greatest thing that we can have.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Repeat Offenders, Judges chapter 3. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. Gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in the book of repeat offenders, Judges 4 and 5. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.